Locked On Fantasy, your daily NFL fantasy podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Welcome into the Locked On Dynasty Football Podcast, everybody. I am Kate Majuk. You could follow me on Twitter at FFBallBlast. As always, I'm joined by Marcus Mosier. You could follow him on Twitter at Marcus_Mosier. Be sure to give the show a follow at Locked On Dynasty. And of course, hit the subscribe button wherever you're listening to this podcast. But if you're listening, just know we've got a banging YouTube channel. So go check out our YouTube channel. Hit that subscribe. We stream live, so you guys can come and ask us your dynasty questions, and hopefully we can help you win those ships, which are coming up, Marcus. Another week in the books.
Kate, and the first question I have for you is, going forward, who would you rather have, Patrick Mahomes or Joe Flacco?
Joe Flacco.
24 of 39 for almost 300 yards and two touchdowns, just absolutely dominating out there.
We knew he had it in him. This has been brewing for a while. Yards he's built up over the last couple of years.
We're not going to talk about Joe Flacco anymore on this show. However, is it more beneficial to Elijah Moore and Jamison Crowder if Flacco finishes out the season than Zach Wilson?
Yes.
Yeah, I agree with you. Elijah Moore, 8 for 141 in a touchdown yesterday.
I don't feel like it's a very big coincidence that Elijah Moore is started to break out now that we see Zach Wilson out of the lineup. I'm not saying Joe Flacco is the quarterback of the future, but there are certain quarterbacks that are more productive for fantasy football.
Flacco is one of them. Yes.
And it comes down to a willingness to throw down the field and just a better ability to do that.
Ryan Fitzpatrick's a good example of that. He's been that for the last decade, right? There's better quarterbacks than Ryan Fitzpatrick, but Ryan Fitzpatrick he's going to take chances. He's going to throw the ball down the field, and he's going to give your skill players a shot. So we've already spent too much time on Joe Flacco.
It's not to say that Zach Wilson hasn't YOLO'd this entire season, because every pass of his has been a YOLO. I just think, at this point in their careers, Joe Flacco has his YOLOs better under control. So give me, please, give me Joe Flacco for as long as we can for Elijah Moore, because I think he's approaching that must play territory on a week to week basis.
I agree. All right, let's stop talking about Joe Flacco. My goodness.
I feel dirty. I can't.
Want to talk about Jonathan Taylor, the big story from week 11. I mean, just a monster game. 32 carries for 185 yards, 3 receptions for 19 yards, 5 touchdowns. Kate, this is the 4th straight game where he scored at least 21 points in PPR leagues. It looks like the 8th straight game where he scored over 17 points in PPR leagues. He's the clear-cut RB1 in fantasy right now, correct?
Absolutely. Not even particularly close. The way that he is executing everything, every time he touches the ball, it doesn't matter if it is a reception, it doesn't matter, period. Every time he touches the ball, amazing things happen. Leading the NFL in missed forced tackles, leading the NFL in yards after contact behind Derrick Henry, which is crazy that Derrick Henry is still leading the NFL right now in terms of yards after contact. But I mean, it's Jonathan Taylor, and it's not particularly close, because it's really hard to find any of these options have as much upside as my guy Jonathan Taylor. I'm very impressed. And I think as long as Jonathan Taylor is in the conversation, we need to be talking about the Colts as a bigger postseason threat.
All right, Kate. Jonathan Taylor's last 8 games, he's got 951 rushing yards, 252 receiving yards. So you're looking at, 1,200 total yards there. 15 touchdowns in the last 8 games. Absolutely unbelievable.
That is psychotic. But here's the issue right now. So if you missed out on Jonathan Taylor, you missed out big.
You can't trade for him.
You cannot trade for him. Like we just took a look at the Dynasty League Football startup ADP for the month of November. Jonathan Taylor, of course, is RB1, but like Christian McCaffrey, RB5. So that's telling me that I can't swap these two straight up, which is pretty crazy, just considering the landscape heading into the season before Christian McCaffrey suffered, you know, another injury that kept him out of our lineups. He was still RB1. So, I mean, just, you know, it's crazy. Jonathan,
Taylor, us, I want to debate RB2, RB3, RB4. So go ahead and give us the names, Kate.
RB2 coming in hot. Najee Harris, my guy, my Pittsburgh Steeler, followed by DeAndre Swift, Dalvin Cook, and Christian McCaffrey. So, Marcus, the biggest bone that we have to pick here is Najee Harris and DeAndre Swift at RB2 and RB3. Because, I mean, you know, I'm a little biased as the Pittsburgh fan, but, I mean, Najee Harris was absolutely one of my favorite prospects coming out of college. I just think he's so talented every time he touches the ball. And we have a couple of different reasons why we like Najee over DeAndre Swift and vice versa. Give us your take. Why should DeAndre Swift be RB2 on this list? Because they're both, Najee Harris is actually 1 year older, but they, you know, they both haven't had tons of touches on them. They're young in their careers.
Sure.
So their starting point is comparable. So what brings DeAndre Swift to RB2 for me or for you? And I can't wait to refute it.
Yeah. And I'm really excited to tell you about it, Kate, because I feel very passionately about this, just like I feel passionately about DirecTV. How's that for a segue? DirecTV Stream brings you live TV and on-demand favorites together like never before, which means you can watch your favorite shows, movies, and sports all in one place. And the best part, there's no annual contract. So stop waiting and get your TV together with DirecTV Stream. You can learn more at DirecTV.com. That is DirecTV.com. All right, to answer your question, for me, it's volume. And we talk about Najee Harris all the time and his volume, right? Like over the last six games, he has 133 carries, 22.2 carries per game. So like Pittsburgh is feeding him the rock, and that's a great
thing. As we
like
knew that, he would. We knew he would.
So his floor is so high. My problem is the efficiency just isn't there. Kate, in the last six games, actually, we can even go through the entire season. This season, he's averaging 3.6 yards per carry. I see the Steelers continuing to give him a lot of work over the next couple of years. Like, I just, you draft the running back in the first round, you're just not going to go away from
clearly
him,
right? the centerpiece of that offense.
He is. But we've seen this happen before. At some point, these teams start to try to protect their investments some and not just kill them with touches. It happened with Josh Jacobs. It happened with Ezekiel Elliott. I mean, we see this time and time again. So if Najee's not averaging 25 touches a game and all of a sudden it's down to 20 and he's maintaining relatively the same efficiency, I just don't see the ceiling that I see with DeAndre Swift, who – listen, he had another game this week where he had over 130 yards. It only took him 14 carries to do it. If the Lions go the other way and say, hey, let's give Swift 22 carries a game, I don't even think it's going to be close. So I think it's more for me about what happens if Najee's not getting this many touches.
I mean, the thing for me, it really, like it, you said, it comes down to volume. Outside of week 10 where – DeAndre Swift just obliterated my Pittsburgh Steelers. DeAndre Swift this season has only averaged right around 11 carries per game, which is crazy. Yeah. But he has not been the picture of efficiency, Marcus. He's averaging 4.1 yards per rushing attempt, which is not anything
fantastic.
Exciting.
No, it's not. It's not great.
No,
it's
it not is not fantastic. But looking at what they do, you know, if we're worried about opportunity, obviously Najee's going to get those opportunities, but even looking about what they do with the ball in their hands, Najee Harris, he does more after contact. He has more yards after contact on the season, has almost, has double the misforced tackles on his rushing attempts. He's got 40 more rushing attempts on the season than DeAndre Swift. And, over half of the missed tackles that DeAndre Swift has, You know who leads the NFL in missed forced tackles after receptions? It's Najee Harris. It is Najee Harris, and he's got 25 on the season. DeAndre Swift comes in at number two at 17. I just think when you have the ball in Najee Harris's hands, yes, he's a grinder, but that's part of why he's inefficient, right? Because you're not always asking him to get those big play home runs. You're asking him to get the tough yardage in front of you. I just think like the explosivity might not be there, but just pound for pound, looking at what he can do, just consistency wise. And after the ball is in his hands, I can't understand why you wouldn't take the play on volume there over DeAndre Swift. Cause I love the receiving ability, but is he going to have all of these receiving opportunities and all of these targets once they actually get a couple of wide receivers? I don't know.
Well, I think that speaks to the whole offense, right? Like the offense right now is so bad in Detroit, and it's not providing goal line touchdowns and all that kind of stuff that comes with a better offense. So yeah, he might lose some receptions if a better receiving core comes in, but that's also going to lead to more points. Maybe
he
more drives.
He only has a like 12 carries a game though to offset that.
Well, I guess that's why I'm leaning into Swift over Najee, because even right now only averaging 13.7 carries on the season, their fantasy points per game are really close. Like he's basically putting up very similar numbers to Najee Harris despite 10 less carries a game. I just think that combined with the age, combined with being a little bit more efficient on a bad offense, is why I'm leaning DeAndre Swift.
Okay. All right, everybody, let us know. All right, know.
So who's RB4 again?
At RB4, we've got Dalvin Cook and then Christian McCaffrey at RB5. Dalvin Cook actually 1 year older than Christian McCaffrey coming in at RB4. Is this surprising to you at all? Because, I mean, we've seen both of these running backs succumb to injury in the past. I'm kind of surprised that Christian McCaffrey is taken down a notch here.
Which one would you rather have? Because I would rather have McCaffrey, just because when McCaffrey plays, and we've seen it this year, Kate, like whenever he plays, he's basically a lock for 20 fantasy points a game. Last 2 weeks, 27.1 points against Arizona, 24.9 against Washington.
Yeah, I would take Christian McCaffrey here. The ceilings are very similar, but I do just think Christian McCaffrey's touch volume and efficiency give him one of the safest floors among any NFL running back, like without a doubt.
Okay. Let's talk about some receivers. Should we start with Justin Jefferson, who had another huge game, 8 for 169 and 2 touchdowns? And if you were watching that game, he came up, what, about a yard short of another touchdown where he tried to reach out. Is he the number one receiver right now in Dynasty?
He is. I think you've got to roll with that. Actually, so this is where it gets tricky. So it's like the battle of LSU. Because you have Justin Jefferson, who's had plenty of like ups and downs this season. He hasn't been, a guy who obviously he's an elite wide receiver, and you're not questioning that. But it's not like he hasn't faltered whatsoever. He's not been infallible. And then
I will say that he's only had one game this. Hold on, really quickly. Justin Jefferson only has one game this year below 65 receiving yards. So he does give you a pretty high floor.
That is crazy. And he's had, I think what's sticking with me is, his game, what do you have, 20 receiving yards? I think that was against
Dallas, 2 for 21. Yeah.
Of course you would remember. The ceiling's very high for him. But my question really comes down to the battle of LSU. Is Ja'Marr Chase enough to contend for that spot? Because honestly, they're both right there in age. They're both very similar in build. They're very the ceiling is equally high. So how do you distinguish between Ja'Marr Chase and Justin Jefferson? Because I think if you asked me to swap them straight up right now, I'm not sure who I'd prefer.
That's the whole thing, right? If you have Justin Jefferson, you're not trading him for Ja'Marr Chase. If you have Ja'Marr Chase, you're probably not trading him for Justin Jefferson either. So I think those guys are at least two of the top four dynasty receivers you'd like right now. And probably their ranking inside that tier is going to flip and flop every single week, right? So I would probably go with Chase just because I trust the long-term quarterback a little bit more than Kirk Cousins. But I don't think you can go wrong with it either.
Yeah, I think I lean Chase as well just because I like the just the overall offense of a bit better. And I do love me some Joe Burrow. And that connection just has translated so well over to the NFL. Really hard not to buy into that connection that they have there. Because, I mean, God, Ja'Marr Chase has been absolutely incredible to watch. But, I mean, did have two back-to-back weeks, actually three back-to-back weeks, of fewer than 50 receiving yards. Ooh, I mean, buy low.
We should talk about Deebo Samuel again, because my gosh, what a player. One catch for 15 yards on Sunday, Kate, but eight carries for 79 yards and a touchdown. What receiver gets eight carries in a game? Just every single week, he's finding the end zone. He's figured out a way to total at least 80 yards. He's got to be inside the top 10, right? If receivers.
Oh, absolutely. And I mean, I don't think there's anybody whose dynasty value has climbed more significantly this season than this guy right here. There's no way that anybody could tell me that they had predicted that Deebo Samuel was going to take the climb that he did. Right now, in terms of dynasty startup ADP back in November, he clocks in as the wide receiver 12, and that feels low. Because he's sitting there. So here's a couple of names that he's behind. Tyreek Hill, I understand. Davante Adams, I understand. DJ Moore, what do you think?
I love DJ Moore. I am one of DJ Moore's biggest supporters out there, but that makes absolutely no sense.
Okay. So DJ Moore comes in at wide receiver 8. So I'm taking Deebo over DJ Moore at this point. Stephon Diggs has a couple of years on him, obviously tied to a very productive NFL offense, which we did find out is human. They are human.
I would probably stay with Diggs at this point because he does have the health that Deebo doesn't have.
Okay. Cooper Kupp comes in at wide receiver 10. That is bonkers for me.
Cooper Kupp. That one doesn't make sense either because Kupp is just so locked into that role in that offense. But we are figuring out that Deebo Samuel, like, somewhere inside the top 10 makes sense, right?
It does make sense. And I think you need to check with your league mates. Obviously, we come down to this every season, and it all comes down to what your league mates value, right? And yes, every league is completely different. Like, these mock drafts and stuff that we reference, it is a certain subset of people participating. Like, it's not a show of every single dynasty player out there. So float offers. Yep. Because if this is like, if the expert community is ranking Deebo Samuel as the wide receiver 12 in dynasty, and I think that's too low, your home leagues are probably even lower. And I think Deebo Samuel's worth the pick.
I agree with you. Let's take one more quick break so I can tell you guys about BetOnline. It remains your number one spot for all the sports action this Thanksgiving. Head to our new updated desktop or mobile website to sign up today to receive your 50% welcome bonus with promo code LOCKEDON to receive your bonus. And it's not just football. BetOnline has pro and college hoops, NHL, boxing, UFC, and even your favorite Vegas casino games. Don't wait to take advantage of all the amazing offers available for the 2021 season. BetOnline is the fastest and easiest way to bet on all of your favorite sports. BetOnline, we're stuffed with deals this Thanksgiving. I also want to tell you guys about Built Bar. You know Built Bar. It's the absolute best tasting protein bar out there. Real chocolate, amazing flavors. It's just a great combination of low calories, high protein, and low sugar with no crazy additives. Best of all, they taste fantastic. Go to BuiltBar.com and use promo code LOCKEDON to get 10% off your next box at BuiltBar.com. All right, Kate, some bad performances on Sunday we need to talk about. I think we should just start with Russell Wilson because he does not look right. And my goodness, the Seattle offense looks kind of broken. Russell Wilson, 14 to 26 for 207 yards, no touchdowns, no interceptions. Tyler Lockett did have a good day, 4 for 115, no touchdowns. DK Metcalf, 4 for 31, no touchdowns on 8 targets. Back-to-back games for DK Metcalf where he didn't clear 35 receiving yards. And actually, it's 3 straight games under 45 receiving yards. Are you worried about Russell Wilson in this offense?
I do feel like that's actually a good name. He's looking rough. Ruffle Wilson. I like that. I think we should coin that. TM. Ruffle Wilson. Yep. TM. I'm a bit worried about this team. I feel like they've just completely lost their identity right now. And the fact that we didn't even talk about the injury to Chris Carson, he was officially placed on season ending IR with a neck injury. Awesome. So he is out of the picture this season, but
it's tough to talk about, but it might be just done for Chris Carson as the lead back at Seattle, right? Like, he's a little bit older. I know they gave him a contract extension this offseason, but like, how can you trust a running back with neck injuries to come back next year and all of a sudden be the lead guy? I don't see that happening either.
And this, I'm not totally going to speak to that because I don't know. I know there are some like medical literature. There's some medical literature out there about, you know, sports and how players tend to succeed or not succeed when returning from certain kind of injuries. And I haven't really seen a ton of detail about the injury to Chris Carson, but obviously neck is always something scary.
On top of that, he'll be 28 by the next time he plays a snap.
Yes. Yes. That's very uncomfortable.
He's only played 16 games over the last 2 years. So it's not somebody who's
hasn't been the picture of durability. No. But I mean, the concern here, like just in general, I feel like Chris Carson was a huge part of that team's identity. And it seems like Russell Wilson like you said, I think he doesn't look right. I don't know if it's the lack of health. Like clearly he's still having some of those issues with his finger, not fully 100%, which, you know, again, it is your finger and you were an NFL quarterback. You do have to use your fingers to propel the ball forward. And I have to imagine if you're not even mentally 100% there and you're not totally trusting that finger, maybe you play a little bit different. We've kind of talked about this, like in return from ACL, I feel like any return to injury, if you're not trusting your injury, you're going to be playing a little bit different. And Russell Wilson's not himself. Is this a time to go buy DK Metcalf then?
I don't know because Russell Wilson wanted out last year after a 12-4 season. What is he going to do this year when the team's maybe going to only win 5 games? I just don't know how much I trust Metcalf if Wilson's not the quarterback, right? Because his game is so reliant on making big plays down the field. My gut says yes to go out and get him, and they'll eventually figure it out. But with the way that Pete Carroll wants to play in these games, he wants to just run the ball, keep the score down, and play defensive games. I don't know, Kate.
Pete Carroll is like if your dad was coaching any NFL team.
He wants every game to be close so they could kick a field goal at the end to win. Like he does not want to open these games up at all. And that's just a problem for somebody like Metcalf. You need him to get double-digit targets every single week. They need to be down the field. And it's just not happening.
The upside just hasn't been there with DK Metcalf. There's been only one game this season where he surpassed 100 receiving yards. And he's still being valued as a top 5 dynasty receiver right there in the group of Justin Jefferson, Ja'Marr Chase, AJ Brown. He's in the mix for that top wideout conversation. It all comes down to the value in your home leagues, but I still think the ceiling is so high for DK Metcalf.
I agree.
I mean, we've seen this offense be productive on a pretty continuous basis. It's always had its ups and downs. I feel like it's just been a matter of do they start the season hot or do they finish the season hot?
Right.
And this is clearly a slow finish for them. And I think this is a great time to trade for DK Metcalf because you still have the elite speed. You still have the elite size. You still have the just he's an elite football player. Go trade for DK Metcalf.
Last one before we head out. Ezekiel Elliott, over the last five games, can you guess how many carries he's averaging?
I cannot. Tell me.
13.2. He's averaging in the last five games, he's averaging 3.6 yards per carry. He is getting a lot of work in the passing game. He has 23 receptions over that time, but it's not like he's making a ton of plays there. He has seven rushing touchdowns this season, a lot of them right at the 1 yard line. Is it over for Ezekiel Elliott as a clear cut RB1?
I'm not ready to say it's totally over, but I will say like Tony Pollard makes things so much more complicated in that backfield. I'm watching Tony Pollard play football. He is just so like, he's got so much burst there.
Yeah.
I'm surprised. Like, and looking at Ezekiel Elliott and looking at Tony Pollard, like the one thing that I do think Zeke has in tow that we need to be considering is that he's not necessarily losing a ton of work to Tony Pollard. He's not losing out on the work just because there's another better running back. If you're looking at Tony Pollard's work over the last several games, he's also seen a small amount of carries. So it's just the offense is running a bit less. I don't think it's totally time to panic, but I do like Ezekiel Elliott is going to win plenty of people fantasy football leagues this year. His touchdown upside is high. He's still clearly the guy. But I do think that Tony Pollard just lowers that ceiling a bit more than we should, any of us should be comfortable with. But I don't necessarily think it's the time to sell either. I think you.
Oh, it's not the time to sell because Zeke is really banged up right now. And you saw it on Sunday. Like he's dealing with an ankle injury. He's dealing with a knee injury. It's just, I don't see a guy anymore that's going to be 23 touches a game, two touchdowns, and 140 yards every week. Like he was early in his career. Like that's what we were getting the first 3 years of Ezekiel Elliott. That's just not happening. He's getting older. His role is shrinking in this offense. So, all right, that is it for today's show. Thank you guys for tuning in. We'll be off on Thursday and Friday. We'll be with our family celebrating Thanksgiving, but we'll be back on Monday to preview or to review all of the action from week 12. You can listen to Matt and Ryan on Tuesday and Wednesday. You can follow the show on Twitter at Locked On Dynasty. You can follow Kate at FF Ball Blast, and I'm at Marcus_Mosier. Enjoy your Thanksgiving. We'll see you guys next time.